dimension.
So, by now, anyone that's been participating in this conversation for a little while should be showing signs of some annoying symptoms.
Yeah.
And if you're not showing signs of some annoying symptoms, then there's probably no reason to come here anymore. Because
you mean like questioning your sanity, losing your marriage?
Yeah.
Like just total fucking insane.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was talking
about.
Yeah.
Okay. I got the papers laying on the dining room table. I'm ready to sign them.
Well, you're
doing
it. Yeah. You know, when you go to a thing, whether you're paying for it or it's just a, you know, kickback kind of thing, maybe you go just for the entertainment of the event or the socializing aspects. Or maybe you're actually looking for, you know, an outcome. Like if Susan Duvall sends out a newsletter.
Ooh, E.T.'s mom is coming to town since we've been talking about E.T. so much.
Yeah, so that's right. Someone's coming to town whose skills and psychic qualities and diagnostic qualities and everything else, methodology, and methodology for happiness, which happens to be far superior than yours, to yours.
Nice.
Far
superior, is coming to town, and it's only $70 or whatever it is
to hear her
speak. It is a great deal, especially when you look at the testimonials of people that have said, without flaw, without a doubt, without delay, my life changed iterations for the better, just having encountered this person. And you're like, I got $70.
Yeah, I got.
I am willing to go without marijuana for a week.
I got that extra cash. You know, marijuana for a week.
I know. To go see this thing. Because clearly marijuana is not helping me. But maybe this woman will. So I'm willing to, you know, this week I'm not drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, no pot,
save up.
No, it's really impossible to even think about. I'm going to save up and I'm going to go see this woman, and she's going to change my life for the better.
Is that one of the requirements?
Forever. To do what? To get anything up? No.
Okay. I don't know if it couldn't be in your system.
But this is the cell. And if this shit worked, I mean, even once, don't you think the world would be a different place?
Right. Oh, it'd be like it'd be miraculous.
Well, you go to like those mind, body, spirit conferences. I just went to one, and those people were nuts. Everybody was, I mean, it was not like it's what you would hope to see if there was some
physical society.
If all the Buddhists,
it was like going to the mall.
If the Buddhism worked, if the Christianity worked, if the teachings of Abraham worked, of Hashem worked, if Islam worked, if Hinduism worked, if yoga worked, if massage worked, if psychics worked, if amethyst candles worked.
Well, sometimes they work despite themselves. Just like anything else would work.
The point being is that if this shit actually worked, don't you think the world would show up a different way? I mean, if you compare the promise that's made to what we're experiencing, something's not working. Because by now, 2,000 years or more since the birth of the Buddha and other luminaries that are responsible for all, call it religious endeavor, all religious aspiration on earth, don't you think it would look a little different? Isn't that the expectation? Doesn't every generation say, well, if I apply myself to Christianity, if I apply myself to Patanjali, if I apply myself to Gautama, or to ayahuasca, or to Our Lady of Guadalupe, then in my lifetime, this ship's going to come home. This ship's going to hit dock. I'm going to make it, right? And we seem to neglect all of the generations that have lived prior to our own that had the same hormonally crazed enthusiasm for that their life was going to turn out to be away, or that they would be the progenitors of the golden age of consciousness.
What about the 60s and all the flower children and the LSD and all that? They thought for sure they were riding that wave. They're just
the
as
same
fucked up as anybody
with
else.
Political stuff is the same, right?
The 60s didn't, it didn't work.
Look way back, it's like this shit.
Take both.
Yep.
Take both. Yeah, no, take both.
No big corporation. I mean, it just repeats itself.
I mean, Ram Dass was a mouthpiece for the 60s. Choyam Trungpa was a mouthpiece for the 60s. The Beat Generation, Kerouac, and those guys were mouthpieces for the 60s, right? Kennedy was a mouthpiece for the 60s. All the brothers were. And it's like, so? So you have to wonder. If someone's coming to town with a methodology that has worked for them and thousands of others,
yeah, it's like a new thing.
It's like, it's if it's too good to be true, man, it must be too good to be true.
Well, you know, if you said it's changed, and I think if anything, I've become maybe, let's say, more complacent.
There's a guy named Norbert. He'll never listen to this, so I don't mind using his name. Anyway, he's a gentleman of, you know, maybe senior to you.
Wow.
And that's, I mean, that's as old as the fucking hills.
He's been around.
Yeah. Yeah, you can imagine.
He doesn't even have any
yeah, it's long in the tooth. The walker is like in the closet. He's just waiting to brush it off. Anyway, he's been a Sedona method, Sedona professional, certified, probably very successful Sedona method teacher for a long time and speaks to, you know, numbers of people in Europe and teaches this thing. And there he is, his eyes all glazed over, listening to Peter Brown. He can't wait to get on the next, you know, broadcast.
Oh, is this this was the man that was at Peter's last thing?
No, he hasn't been on the scene. Okay. He's participating through the video.
Yeah,
so it's like, psst, Norbert, something wrong with the Sedona method? What, did you hit the wall on positive thinking and getting everything you want?
It's another addiction. You just switch up and switch up and try and try, and eventually it sucks you dry, and you're left with the heat, and that's it. This is just the fast road to being left with heat. And it's a lot less expensive.
I'd rather spend my money going and scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef than spend any money on $70 things that don't work.
Now you're talking.
I like I scuba dived a lot that didn't work either.
I still like it.
I used to think if I just dropped the seeking and then just like dove back into quote regular life, okay, I'm going to take real vacations. Well, that didn't work out. Okay, I'm going to like, you know, I thought that would do it. It doesn't.
Once you've gone through the gate, once you've gone through the gate and you've turned the corner on transhuman penetration, you're fucked. And you don't know that you've crossed through the imaginary membrane yet, because one is still trying to apply remedies, entertainments, and one-ups from the human point of view. And you're in trouble, because the human point of view is a point of view. It's a realm.
The human point of view says, I'm important and the suffering means
something. And that is included.
Like, I'm just sitting back going, all right, you're going to do what you're going to do, and it doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Like, who knows what sticky notes are lurking in your consciousness that will reify what you imagine is happening. You don't know. That's why this adventure is strange, that this adventure is not about getting a one-up as a human. It's not about maximizing enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not.
Well, that's good.
But the truffles are good. Like,
the truffles are what makes it work.
Nice.
Because otherwise one could easily feel that since one is not happy all the time, one is missing the boat.
Yes, but this is the real strange part of this whole thing. Well, it's one of the many strange things. The vocabulary that we're accustomed to using is a dualistic vocabulary, which is animated by our ideas stemming from the human realm. The way that you frame your experience as consciousness, as interest, as awareness, as profundity, as body-mind, is tiny. The way that you frame your present experience, as long as it's within the boundary field of the human realm, it has a very, very tiny vocabulary. A circumloquacious vocabulary, a narcissistic vocabulary, a deluded vocabulary. It doesn't understand what this actually is. And so it continues to proliferate and assert itself as human. And then a human that's trying to get a leg up on how fucking weird it is to be a disappointed human. That's the loop. And so in comes another psychic that now has a method for you to improve your human game. The psychic has no fucking clue that this is not human. The psychic is accomplished as a speaker and a gatherer of money and the creator of enthusiasm for, you know, dupes like us that are really interested in improving the human game. That's why the psychic thrives on your stupidity like a parasite. The gurus do this too. The gurus thrive on our stupidity like a parasite because they're all hanging out within the myth of one-upmanship for you as a human. That means they're participating with you, co-conjuring with you, keeping you in a very, very small framework by thinking that there's something in this for you and that what it is has got to be better than what it is right now. It's going to be exciting because I'm going to go swimming. I'm going to go diving. I'm going to take a drug. I'm going to jump out of a plane. Maybe I'll get laid. I'll get a better job. Maybe a car, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, more sense and experience gratification is in my future, and I keep running at it like a carrot. And you can include enlightenment in that long list of, you know, things. Right. Yeah. So this is a bacterium. This is a bacteria which turns out to be insatiable. This is a bacterium. This experiencing is a bacterium which turns out to be insatiable and can dream up a storm. And that's what you call, or any one of us calls, oh, the context of my life, the borders of my life, of my experience, and what I'm trying to do to maximize this experience. It's absolute hysteria. It's complete hysteria. Because you're stuck inside of a bardo and you don't even know that you're in a bardo. You think you can look macrocosmically, microcosmically, to the left, to the right, up, down, in between, jump on a plane, and go have as much ecstatic experience as your credit card balance or your wallet or your drug-crazed insanity will permit you to have. And you think, winning! You see? But you're just operating within a very, very, very microscopic, bacterially proliferating dreamscape called human. And everyone that's trying to get money from you is keeping you there. If you read Nirsagadatta, where do you end up? Well, you end up in a realm. Right? You can read I Am That 8 times, but where do you think you're going? You're entering into a realm, into a certain perfume. Yes? If you read Mein Kampf, you're going into a realm. If you take ayahuasca, you're going into a realm. If you're high in love, you're in a realm. If you do JYNs and become certified, you're in a realm. If you become a teacher of the Sedona method, you're in another realm. Anytime you enter the master's house, you're in trouble because all you're going to take is the imagination of a realm, the aroma, the perfume of a realm. You can do it with Gangaji or Papaji. You can do it with Greg Good. Jeff Foster. You can do it with Batgap or Renata McNay. You see, everywhere interest goes, interest stakes a claim, like Neil Armstrong jumping off the ladder on the moon, putting down an American flag on the moon to stake a claim. You see, this is a metaphor for the entire sickness of the species, for the entire sickness of the dream, is this staking a claim. Creating a realm, insisting that you are a product of that realm, perhaps even a creator of that realm, that you occupy the realm, and that you're going to maximize and satisfy within that realm. you dumb fuck poser. You're a dumb fuck poser. That's me. Dumb fuck poser are us. Ramesh Balsekar does it, did it. Wayne Lickerman does it. Peter Brown does it. Everyone does it. They give you tools and strategies and explanations and tell you how fucking great it is to be enlightened, and you should be too. And all you're getting from them, unless you're paying really, really careful attention, or your karma permits you to slip through the cracks, what you're getting is a realm. And then you frame your experience in relationship to the teacher and the guru and the teachings as a realm. Oh, Peter, I was doing noticing the other day. Oh, Peter, I understand what you mean when you said like this. Oh, Peter, shouldn't you be conveying it this way? Right? And you know how many people have probably tried to correct Byron Katie or improve upon her, you know, insights for their own purposes.
She'll sue them.
Yeah, and if they're good, she'll sue them.
Oh, yeah.
If they're not, they'll just self-select out. You see, but this is realm play. It's no different than Dungeons and Dragons. If you're, you know, a pimply kid, you know, an adolescent kid hanging out in a, you know, thing, trading cards and doing psychic role play. Everything is psychic role play. Barbara Walters, the Koch brothers, The Few. It's all psychic role play.
It's just like, I'm just thinking of my computer system, you know, you open a folder and then there's like subfolders.
Yeah.
You open this folder and let's say you're an actor.
You're an actor and you're interested in non-duality. So you can say all kinds of cool shit about that and the arts and producers and, you know, you've got a realm going. You can say all kinds of cool shit about all kinds of cool shit within you know, this very, very narrow bandwidth of your imagined persona. And you try to please yourself and please others with just how clever you are.
Did anybody ever see that show, Enlightened with Laura Dern? Really painful. I mean, she's painfully awkward. I mean, she's a painfully awkward, sweet person who has some sort of, like, glimpse of some sort of enlightened experience. But then she proceeds to be, you know, like, she's kind of a do-gooder, she's kind of grandiose, and she works at this terrible place, and, you know, you just see her bumble through trying to be good, and then she'll do something really terrible, and anyway, just inside.
Is that biographical, autobiographical?
I wonder, you know, maybe.
Of you, I mean.
Oh, me? Yeah, I kind of can feel that way, you know, like.
Yeah, because she can't be important. But you're more interesting. Yeah. Look at every single way, nuanced way, that self-reference to get a sense of how we're doing, to optimize, right, our experience, or to optimize our reporting of our experience, right? How am I doing? What do I like about this? What don't I like about that? Am I eating the right thing? Not eating the right thing? How's my hair today? How's my clothes? Is this working? Is that not working? Should I really do something about this someday? Should I build a new shed? Should I burn the house down? You know?
Should I burn the house down with me in it? Yeah. Should I go outside?
Right. Should I have another drink or go to a meeting?
My choosing any of this shit is getting more and more apparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like helpless comes to mind almost.
Helpless is good. That's right. That's the only way for a dumb fuck poser. Helpless. Anything shy of helpless, you're a dumb fuck poser. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that affectionately.
Yes, I know.
Completely.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like time is sweeping what I used to think my cognizant abilities had control over. Just sweeps it away. Like,
yeah, well, that's this. You see, this is just, all this is a, whoa. Remember those faces in the first Remember the melting Nazi faces?
Oh, yeah, in
Raiders of the Lost
Ark. The first Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? Sure. The Ark opened up, which meant that the Ark of the Covenant was opened by the Nazis. And he turned to the lovely Karen Allen, right, his fling at the time, girlfriend, companion at the time, and said, close your eyes, right? Didn't he warn her?
Yeah.
To close, don't look, close your eyes, don't look, whatever you do, don't look.
Do you remember the last thing that was said before faces started melting?
Please, what was it?
It was, it's beautiful!
Yeah. Thanks. The Nazis.
It's beautiful!
Yeah.
And then, ah!
Yeah, see? So, what got let out of the box, exactly? What was in the box? What got let out?
It was raw.
Well, being the Ark of the Covenant, what was in the box were the tablets. Which tablets? The ones, Moses' tablets.
The
15 commandments. The 15, yeah. The 15 or 20 some odd commandments, yeah, before they got whittled down.
Yeah.
Right? So remember the scene after the box was opened and the light came out, right? The Brahmanic, right? Light came out. That we Kohanes, you know, are supposed to know how to handle, because we're the holders of the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, right. So
that's funny because I made that joke.
So the light came out, and that light is like the Nazis said; it's so beautiful, and just irradiated them to juice.
Yeah.
Okay, so it irradiated them to juice. Their faces just melted right off.
Yep.
Right off their faces, melted right off their faces.
Yeah.
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 And then the Ark went flying up into the heavens.
No more so.
So that's what this is, not as an event, ongoingly so. This is about as beautiful as that, ongoingly so. And your face never stops melting. Now, once you turn the corner from human to transhuman, and you get a sense of your face always melting, in the midst of or as that beatitude, you're done for. You parading as a dumb fuck poser is coming to a close. Put your seatbelt on. So if you've been hanging out in this conversation for a while, you know, if you're not having symptoms, I don't know where you've been.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, where the fuck have you been? But you see, people come to these, you know, these kinds of situations hoping for, call it psychic betterment, psychic relief, right? They want the dumb fuck poser to smooth all the way through, like the lady that's coming, that Susan Duvall is bringing to town, who seems like she's accomplished it all. Life is beautiful, happy, radiant, fantastic.
Oh.
To me, it sounds like she's missed the part where her face is melting all the time.
Is this E.T.'s mom you're talking
about? Yeah. She must have missed the fine print.
No.
His mom on the Shawn movie. Isn't that funny? I talked about it today and I was like, oh, E.T.'s mom. Yeah.
We're
talking about
E.T.
so much, sorry.
Well, no. E.T.'s mom was from another planet. You're talking about the mother of the children that found E.T.
Oh,
yeah.
E.T.'s mom would have to be made of...
That's what she meant.
E.T.'s mom.
Aliens, they're pretty strange.
The actress. They're all coming back. They're all coming back.
E.T. The aliens mom was coming. I'm definitely...
I know, I had to see a couple of times.
I went to see The Hobbit in IMAX.
So did I, oh, yesterday.
Which?
Me too.
7 o'clock, yeah.
We were there.
Which one?
I was with my two sons. And Warrington, Regal Warrington, 7 o'clock.
We were there.
O'clock.
That was
the
one.
Oh, my gosh.
The Hobbit.
Is it good?
Incredible. I liked it.
Yeah, what's not to like? Kill a few orcs.
Oh. Is it Regal and Warrington and IMAX?
It is.
There is, yeah.
Yeah. Theater 11, IMAX.
Yeah, it was.
Sit in the middle. Stand back. IMAX 3D. Orcs don't smell that good. You can only tell that in IMAX.
Sensorized.
Smell-o-vision.
Smell-o-vision.
Replaces television.
Where were we? Oh. Yeah. See that for fun. this is all just fun. I mean, nothing's here worth getting too excited about. I mean, there's not possible for there to be any success or any failure with respect to what we're referring to. Because this is an unspeakable beatitude and your face is always melting. So what are you going to accomplish? You know, what brick are you going to put? What's the next brick you're going to put on your wall? Yeah, good luck. Your face is always melting.
Well, it starts to matter less than it is. You notice more and it matters less.
Fair enough.
Because you don't have any fucking choice.
Well, like I said, using the vocabulary of what's happening to you symptomatically as a human, it's not going to help. It doesn't deliver you anyplace. You see? That's why this gets weirder than weirder than weirder than weird. Because for as long as we can try to articulate what we think is going on with us, for the imaginary world, through the realm of the human, what is it? You're back in the realm. What, are you giving yourself advice as a human? Well, you're not human. Not just for you, but, right, any of us that's trying to self-assess, not just casually, but, you know, down to the bone, you get a sense of, fuck, wow, this is radiantly occurring and it's just melting. There's nothing to say about the relevance or irrelevance for that, with that for you as a human. The human conversation's over. You can still have it, you know, you can fall in love and pose at will, find and create all kinds of wonderful charm and altruism.
You just don't believe it.
Day in and day out. Belief's not important. Belief is not important because belief is something a human suffers from.
Yeah.
Including what we might refer to as the absence of belief is still a human accoutrement. Right? Because even the absence of belief suggests something, doesn't it? Right? It anthropomorphizes, doesn't it? Well, it's me without belief.
Mm.
Right? Otherwise, you wouldn't even refer to it, would you?
You've occupied a location and you either have something or you don't.
You've signed up.
It's a belief that, against the belief. You know, something like that.
Too thick. It's too thick. You're already honey cured. No, it's not a belief, nor is it not a belief, nor is there an accoutrement to have. This has nothing to do with belief or the absence of belief. It's not anthropomorphizable. That's salt, dirt, right? This is not anthropomorphizable. And yet, here this is, in a, you know, corporeally, say, reliable, right, bacterium. Right? You can put your clothes on. You can take them off. You can bathe it once in a while. Right? You can walk through life soberly or more than soberly. You can go wherever this feels like taking you. You can take your own life. Maybe. Who knows if you can or you can't? Who knows what powers you have? The reason you're interested at all in whatever this is or isn't is not according to your will, choice, or decision. You're not in charge of the fact that you're absolutely incredibly interested in this. You didn't decide, oh, today I'm going to be really interested in this, but tomorrow not so much. This is doing itself. And if it's not human, or if it doesn't need to frame itself as human, and it's doing itself, and your face is melting, what are you going to say about it?
It's beautiful.
I'll take two. I'll have what she's having.
I'll take the Q5.
Yeah, really, give me the Q5 in red. With the winter package and the sunroof.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, a turbo diesel?
Yeah.
All right. So that means I'll get, you know, 48 miles to a gallon. I'll pay a little bit of premium for the diesel, but so what? It's a big tank, and the car's got enough pep, and I can go camping in it when the weather gets warmer. Right? You got your whole fucking dream worked out, right? Yeah, I know.
Actually, no. I was like, No, it wasn't a dream thing at all.
This was the car that just said, I'm yours, right? Mm-hmm. It came for you, kind of like a puppy at the animal shelter.
Now,
wow. Okay. Road trip. Let's all jump into Q5 and go out for ice cream. I'll sit in the back without a seatbelt.
Is that another Audi?
Yeah.
Is that another big one?
No, it's nowhere near as big. It's built on an A4 frame. It's pretty small compared to the other one.
It's taller.
It's taller. It's like an SUV, not a sedan. Not a ridiculously big sedan.
The presence of interest is not sufficient. In order for this to function, there has to be interest in interest.
It won't. What to function?
Phenomenality will not light up if there's only interest.
Huh? He's lost us again.
He's like an old man.
Just keep talking. Like it's just you just keep talking, and we're just like. And yet, you just keep going.
Up a minute.
It's perfect.
What are you actually interested in? Are you interested in the shit that's occurring, or are you interested in the fact that you're interested? What do you love? What turns you on? Is it the symptoms of phenomenality, or is it that you're interested in the fact that you're interested in phenomenality? Let's say there's three levels. So phenomenality is symptomatic. You are interested in phenomenality. I bet you that's not what turns you on. You're not turned on because you're interested in phenomenality. What turns you on is that you're interested in the interest that's interested in phenomenality.
It's like they're, like I was talking about being at Cullensile and having like things back behind, like lurking sort of behind.
Yeah.
It's that sense of like,
something back there is like, you that's like,
kind of like leaning forward and really fast.
It's present.
Yeah, like from behind.
It's present. Feel yourself as that which is interested in the fact that you are interested in phenomenality.
It leans in. It's like, yeah, and it's not just the truth.
No, this is what I'm playing with here. The muggle thinks that he or she is interested in what's appearing in phenomenality. That means that they are, right, tethered to phenomenality as the measure of the depth and quality of their experience, right?
You'd be interested in your lack of interest in phenomenality.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of the same thing. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's like the discernment of your interest.
A yogi shifts from interest in the symptom to awareness, the beginning of the presence of awareness of the capacity of interest itself. So the yogi sits in meditation or does, you know, hatha forms because something has lit up in the yogi where the yogi has discovered that it's not the phenomenality that's rocking my boat. It's that there's interest. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that begins the quest for a subtler window, a subtler ingress into another realm. Now, what happens to the yogi? They don't remain so. The yogi recognizes, oh my God, I'm actually that which is interested in the fact that I'm interested. Mm-hmm. Phenomenality is tertiary. I'm not interested in that there anymore. So you're a totally disembodied spook. You're of the nature of that which is interested in interest. Whereas the yogi is discovered that interest is what's behind being interested in symptoms. And the muggle is just a symptom pig.
One point is that does that just even that drop away? I mean,
find out.
It's like another interest.
Find out. These are your symptoms. Take them all the way home. Take them all the way. Don't jump off this trolley. Get thrown off.
Yeah, the idea of the consciousness of consciousness of self. Actually, the consciousness of self that disappears. You know, it's like, is consciousness of self disposable? I mean,
I think that's as good a question as any philosopher ever asked. Is consciousness of self disposable?
Because, I mean, you can claim, like, you know, as, maybe little kids or animals or something with no consciousness of their consciousness.
Well, you don't know. All you have is what's appearing, yeah. Appearing to appear where you hang out.
Well, I have this memory that I must have reinforced over the years, because I still seem to have, of being very self-aware in eighth grade. Like, I just remember walking up to the front of the class for some reason, being very aware of my awareness, you know, being very aware that, and it's almost as if to say that before that I was sort of clueless, you know, I really just, you know, just reactionary type.
Nobody says that about you anymore.
I don't seem to care too much, you
is
know.
Consciousness of self the same as I am? When, as Saragadaga says, go back to the point where you had I am and then let that go.
You're in a realm. You see, I know that your Saragadaga had the most sublime and affectionate interests for everyone that he spoke to. But you're in a realm. You're in an N realm. Because no matter what he meant by it, does you no good?
No.
No.
Okay. Any more than what you say does us no good.
Nothing can. Mm-hmm. Right? Because this is only discoverable as it is. Not through the bizarre references that some clowny clown might be inspired to speak of it as. Yeah. So N is a realm. Krishnamurti is a realm. Byron Katie is a realm. Patanjali is a realm. You see, these are all realms. Ananda Mahima is a realm. Ramakrishna is a realm. Right? Mm-hmm. Neem Karoli Baba is a realm. Eckhart Tolle is a realm.
Maybe we should just figure out who's not a realm. Anybody
not a realm?
Anybody's not a realm, stand up. We want to hear from you.
Now, when you ask the question is, right, awareness of consciousness, self-aware, consciousness of self-awareness, disposable, that's not a realm.
So it's the void?
That's a realm.
The void is a realm, because it's a concept.
Yeah. You see, the only way to wake up to this is you have to feel it firsthand. Right? And you are presently, right? You are feeling this firsthand. Nothing else could be going on. You are feeling this firsthand. But we are borrowing from, plagiarizing, right? Interpretive frameworks through N, K, B realms to try to place the prescient miracle of your own first-hand experience into a frame of reference, call it human or call it spiritual, call it enlightened or call it something else. But you see, you can't. And there's your freedom. You are this. Now, check it out. And you can check this out by playing around with the artifacts of sensual enjoyment. Right? Yes! You can also play with this from the vantage point of a yogi that has discovered that applying oneself in a, call it a conscious or sustained manner, can reveal other subtleties of experience that are more sublime or more enjoyable than that of the, right, phenomenal realm. And you can go deeper still by discovering whoa. What I really love about this is not the phenomena. It's not the articulation of being a practitioner yogi. What I really love about this is that I'm in love with interest itself. This has no boundary. You see?
That's available all the time.
That's what this is. That's what it is. That's why the muggle or the yogi or the sufferer hasn't yet seen the firsthand radiance that you're actually interested in interest itself. We're still occupying one or several realms as either a practitioner of the end of suffering or someone that is, you know, knee deep in sense gratification and everything that comes along with it, satisfactory or otherwise. So drop the realm. Or not. I mean, really, you don't have to do anything with it. We're just playing around with the observation that no matter where your consciousness goes, linguistically and not even linguistically, it doesn't matter because there's a ton of you right now, which is actually remarkably subtle, profoundly intelligent, humorous, funny, channeling and everything else. And you don't have a single word. Right? I mean, you're sparkling forth with a seething intelligence that doesn't have a single word. But it's, hello, right? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Yeah. Now that intelligence, which is already whatever this is or isn't, is here it is. It's not obscure. What's in the way, you know, subjectively, objectively speaking, what's in the way, and only can be in the way as an appearance, is association with a realm. What are the realms? Well, born, time, space, human, male, female, white, black, old, young, hot, not so hot anymore, healthy, not so healthy, flush, down on my luck. And not to say that, you know, the biological compendium, you know, should be smarter or better or not suffer. I mean, you know, come on. When the Buddha said life is suffering, you know, it wasn't a condemnation, right? It was like, oh, ouch, this can really pinch. It wasn't true necessarily, but it wasn't really untrue. But that which is interested in interest, which is this, I don't know if it suffers. Find out if that's your, you know, if that's the path you're on. That's what you're looking to discover. Find out if that which is interested in interest, which has no language, no realm, no boundary field, find out what that is. And here you are. You can feel the sparkles just pouring out of your own being. You can feel them, which is an observation of your forever present melting face. You feel the sparkles that are actually underneath what you think is the corporeal frontage of you. Like, whoa, no, fuck, this is just some fucking weird sparkling shit. It's just on fire because it's in love with interest. And there's no word for it. There's no takeaway. There's no utility. There's no consequence. There's no space. There's no time. There's no limitation. That's what this is. This is in love with the fact that you are capable of interest. It loves you that much. It's beyond fond. And it's just radiantly weird and fractal and sparkly. That's what this is. So all of these so-called realms that, you know, great yogis and great masters might be pointing to, that certainly appear enviable to us. If we're a fucking seeker. I mean, if you're not a seeker, this is, you know, gas the room. Just fucking gas the room. And for most, and if, I hope you don't mind my saying so, but for most seekers, you should gas this room. They're not going here. They're not going here.
To get in.
No. Fuck them. Dumb fuck posers. Bunch of dumb fuck posers like us. Yeah. So you see, this is what this is. It's just some fucking weird thing going on. But it's so beyond any boundary or any realm that we can try to accuse it of. That includes the Christian realm and the Judaic realm and the Islamic and the Hindu and the Buddhist and the Enlightened realm and the work realm and the Sedona Method realm. It's not any of those, but all of those appear in it. Everything appears in it, but it's not of a realm. So your identity, whatever that is, and you're not in charge of it, right? No one is in charge of the condition or the level or the gradation or the ratchet of their identity, of their loyalty, because that's just miraculously appearing. But you can see this. You can say, oh, whoa, look at all the identities that this is capable of within my experience or within the play field of humanity on the news, on the TV, and the internet. It's like, whoa, this is one frolicky puppy. This can do anything, you know, genocides and multiple premeditated assassinations, right? Just happening in our backyard and
serious frenzy and instant.
Right. And like great Asian food. Come on. What is available, right? On the sensual realm.
Not great Asian food, but that's all.
Yeah. Too much not great Asian food. Yeah. God damn it. Yeah, so we're drunk, and why shouldn't we be, with the miraculous presentation of whatever this is, this consciousness. And why shouldn't we be drunk? I mean, this is off the charts. Even if you just put on a sweatshirt and drive to work, you're like, oh, my God, right? But, if you're lucky, sometimes it's like, fuck, get another job, right? Or you could just find yourself being lit up. And if you're not being lit up by whatever it is appearing in your immediate experience, that's fine too. You know, then maybe you'll get a new therapist to get more lit up.
Maybe you're just not suffering as bad as you used to.
Some people will be very, very happy just not to suffer as bad as they used to, you know, by 5 degrees. 5 degrees of separation. Forget about 6. 5's good.
I never did start that St. John's wort I bought this week.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take a picture of it.
So you get to discover through the inglorious. What was the name of the movie? Inglorious Bastards? Through all the symptoms of your crappy life, which are just amounts to a bunch of inglorious bastards, you start to get a taste for, you know, the transhuman corner that you've turned. And you can't go back. And this does not have to imply the end of suffering. That's bullshit. To be on the lookout for, or to aspire to, the end of suffering, or to show up at a SIG meeting and tell everyone I'm not seeking anymore, it's just a bunch of spooge.
I don't think we want the definition.
It's just a bunch of spooge. Why? Tell me what would be the utility of you as a fractally radiant, constantly face melting, nothing at all, have anything to say about suffering or seeking? Let it suffer. Let it seek. What? You see, once you start qualifying this, from the vantage point of you self-assessing, well, I used to suffer a lot more then than I do now, ever since I saw E.T.'s mom. You know, or, you know, the clown that was channeling, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Clown poser. That had nothing interesting to say. And you know, if you were having a conversation with Our Lady of Guadalupe, she'd be fascinating you. She would be fucking taking you down. I mean, completely wiping your slate clean and clocking your clock and putting a cap in your head. If she were speaking, you'd be fucking weeping, dripping out of every orifice while your face was melting.
I don't know this person, so it's hard for me to say.
Well, yeah, you know her better than you think. Yeah, you know. He starts throwing a bunch of New Age drivel at me. I'm like, nah, you're not speaking on behalf of my mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe. No, she would flatline your silly ass. So, but that's the way it is with most of these, you know, most of these mediums. All you're really hearing is the dumb fuck poser bullshit that they believe in, that they think they can sell as, you know, New Age crapola, and then want to, you know, presume that it's some kind of ascended whatchamacallit that's saying this shit. But I'm telling you, ascended whatchamacallits, they can kick your ass. But the crap that most of these psychics and mediums are saying is that's like two-bit yoga. It's nothing. There's nothing provocative about it. There's nothing transmutative about it.
You could even predict when it was going to transmit through you. Like maybe someday she does pipe in, while the other day she doesn't pipe in.
It's fun. It's a parlor trick, right? Someone, I mean, Romtha's made millions, tens of millions of dollars, right?
How about?
Jay-Z Knight's made tens of millions of dollars. She has a school. She has Joe Dispenza. From What the Bleep Do We Know,
oh, yeah.
You know, on the lecture circuit, telling everyone how to, program their day, program their life, program their consciousness. I was like, Joe, if you knew even a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit of what this was, you would drop all that like that. But you don't. And so you're a dumb fuck poser and you're selling life improvement to losers. Which is fine. Losers have money. Take it. Losers have money. Take it. that's what they all say in the back room. Hey, Joe, how'd the program go? Losers have money. I took it.
I think I have that CDs or DVDs.
Losers have money?
Oh,
that one, yeah.
What the bleep do we know?
Oh, yeah. Deepak Chopra's the same thing. Losers have money. I think I'll take it.
What's his name? Rajneesh? Osho?
Rajneesh.
Rajneesh?
Yeah. Wasn't he in that?
No, he wasn't in that
movie. No. Oh, he wasn't.
Long deceased.
There's a bunch of science people. Like Amit the Swami.
Yeah, he was in
there. Yeah. That other crackhead was in there.
Which crackhead?
The one with the biology.
The biology of the cell.
Yeah, that guy. He doesn't have very good teeth.
He just pert, or she
I don't know.
His
oh,
beard.
What's that?
Oh, the beard guy. Yeah.
So there was a couple of bearded guys. Yeah.
Did I just rip off
from UCLA?
Yeah.
It's like a bitter. It's roasted dandelion and hickory and. It's like a coffee substitute, but it's good for your liver.
What, that's what you're drinking?
Yeah, I thought it was ours, but it's
okay. Looks like stout to me.
Yeah, but it might have put way too much in there. That's why it's so dark, too.
Oh, it's like,
yeah, pretty sure I put, I jumped the bag. I didn't have to. Sorry.
Oh, hot. Jeez, why didn't you tell me?
Oh my God. I didn't know you were all going to want to smell my drink when I brought it over.
Part of the healing.
No, don't take it.
Sing me out. Jesus.
Oh, man.
What else you got? I don't think we should talk about this shit anymore. Let's just go to show and tell.
Let's just get a hot potato.
dressing her up.
That's what I was thinking.
Let's just go to show and tell. This shit's too weird. all right, well, that's it.
Thank God.
It's the last trouble.
Not those sweet, which I like.
You know, the only blast stuff, just for the sheer squealing delight of it, it's not like any of these things need to be taken so seriously to have a quarrel with anything, right? You just blast the play field of being a dumb fuck poser just for squealing delight, just to see how absurd this is. We are. I am. No.
Fun.
It's totally fun.
Seems to raise the eyebrows of a lot of people around. Yeah.
Well.
So what's their problem?
Yeah, it is.
Those loyalties. Exactly. Those loyalties that get created. The landmark. Loyalty. The TM. Loyalty. The friends loyalty. Right? These loyalties have been invested in with great sincerity so that we can ameliorate our own self-loathing.
I'll be okay if I identify with this over there that seems like it's okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right. It's all about appeasement and medication. Religion, you know, I mean, when Mao blamed religion as the opiate of the people, it was like, it was a little too narrow. Mao, you're the opiate of the people.
Yeah.
You know? Your remedy for the Cultural Revolution, which means killing every independently thinking, you know, expressive poet. That's the opiate. Yeah, container?
You're talking about opiate.
Truffle lickings. I love truffle lickings.
Those
no. That that's not an empty truffle packet, is it? So you can see that even if you had an interest in looking, you know, deeply at the curious nature of reality, that it's gonna pull every trick out of the bag to divert you.
Here, I know.
See how diversionary it is?
You think
you can actually turn your hot seeker beam on getting to the bottom of this, and it's so diversionary, you're licking truffle boxes like that fast.
Hopefully not on all fours. But yeah.
Right. You know, or a movie comes to mind, right? Or a TV show, or a character, or a book, or something that happened to you yesterday, or what's been bothering you for the entirety of your life. All these things will come to mind, and they'll just divert you. That's what you're up against. You're being shot at by a fire hose, which is right up against your fucking nose. Try to keep your face on straight. That's how good it is.
It's hard not to have an identity, you know? Something to identify with.
Actually, it's remarkably easy not to have an identity. Mm-hmm. What's hard is the ongoing investment that's made in sustaining an identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's hard. That's really why we complain.
Although there's a bit of a habit to it, it seems, you know, to sustaining that identity, to
Thich Nhat Hanh's
back to it, sweating back in. You know.
Not really, no. Thich Nhat Hanh was big on, you know, using the habit energy metaphor to get to the bottom of, let's say, you know, anger, right, disappointment, regret. He would say, you know, what are the seeds of right, mindfulness, rather than watering the seeds of, let's just call it regret, habit energy. So it's just habit energy. And so here, come to my retreat center, my meditation group, sing my songs and read my poems, buy my books, right? And I will assist you in the grand adventure, the grand endeavor of watering the seeds of happiness, not watering the seeds of habit energy.
That's pushing. That's too contrived, it seems.
Well, you know, that's right.
I mean,
You can go to 1,000 Thich Nhat Hanh meditation groups and centers, you know, all over the world, and you're not going to find that many people that have, you know, popped through, that have transcended the realm of Thich, the Thich realm. Right? Which is just another offshoot, you know, of a lovely Vietnamese realized, you know, master of consciousness that created a big worldwide institution. Like many, you know, Buddhists and Hindus and yogis have done. Bikram did it, you know, with hot yoga. You know, he didn't just take their money. He made sure to have sex with everybody.
Sweaty
sex, bro.
Doctor's
like
naked
during
hot yoga, so what are you
going to
do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Really? Duh. Really?
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
We need to change our name every week so we don't get like an identity.
Yeah, definitely. Change your license.
Nothing's the same every week.
No, I mean, the nice guy Santa will call it something every
week. Yeah, no, we should call it something else. Truffle Liquors Anonymous. Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm a truffle liquor. Hi, Jeff.
Nice guy, S&M.
Yeah, that's nice. Right.
I don't know about that one. I mean, who's going to come?
So you can see how novel. You can see how novel and entertaining and giggly this loves to be. Hey, wait a second. This is about some serious shit. Oh, yeah. Real serious.
Yeah.
Right. My face is melting. Try to keep a straight face while it's melting.
Why the long face?
Underneath, though, that's not quite the right word because it's not directional. Or behind, which is not quite the right word because it's not directional. Prior to, it's not quite the right word because this is not directional.
Damn it, we're going to get there.
You see? Or temporal. This is not directional or temporal because your face is melting at present. So you can't really say what's prior to, underneath, or before. Nothing. Yeah, you're not going to get the alpha and omega of, you know, realized consciousness. You're just not, because it's a realm, it's an idea. But if I'm afflicted, right, if I'm operating in the imaginarium of time, then you're in a realm. Mm-hmm. You're in a bardo.
Where we live? Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong or right with anything because nothing is happening. Right. And whatever bardo you may be living in, and why not 300,000 in a day? Mm-hmm. However many seconds there are in a day, you're living in at least that many bardos in a day. And a second is maybe, you know, not small enough. Mm. Right? I mean, what is a second? That's so strange. You can watch a clock maybe, you know, or an atomic clock or a good thing measure seconds. What is a day? So the Earth rotates on its axis, kind of on a tilt, you know, facing the giant lamp in the sky. And that rotation period, like if you started somewhere, but where exactly do you start? Where is the international dateline? And whether, is it Tuesday or Wednesday? And if I go to the left, is it Tuesday? And if I, you know, swim 2 yards to the right, is it Wednesday? And why is the international dateline there? Like what is the fucking line that determines how long it takes for the Earth to rotate? What did Andy sit on the equator and, you know, look at his watch? And when he got around, he was like 24 hours. Where did that come from? I mean, I'm not saying it's true or untrue, you know, it's just it's a metaphor of measure, right? So the Earth rotates in a day. Day to night is a 24 hour give or take, right? And we split that into, hours, those into minutes, and those into seconds. So if you multiply da-da-da-da-da, you have X number of seconds that unfold, or you can see on the face of your watch as you go from night to day and back again. And so this means you can be on time for work. Or not. Yeah, really. So everything that's appearing in your consciousness, which is whatever that is, which has a fermentation and a fomentation, it's just like punching the clock. Right? You're clocking in, clocking out, clocking in, clocking out, clocking in, clocking out, clocking in, clocking out. But nothing is actually occurring. Even what's occurring is not actually occurring, because it's a melting face. I mean, how do you go to Redner's and get Lucky Charms and Coca-Cola and take it home and feast? How do you do that? I don't know. But it can be done.
You know. You pour the Coca-Cola on the Lucky Charms.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You slam some Wonder Bread in the toaster and lather it up with margarine.
For about 5 minutes, and then I'd be flying over.
Yeah, really. You can purge.
Take
out. Do it again. You can purge and then have another bowl.
Tiny
marshmallows shaped like different colors. Well,
you
know what? The supposedly this is true. That
there's
a survey done.
Supposedly this is true.
For people.
Should we take this literally or not literally?
Whatever you want.
Great as all.
What was the one wish that people, if they were granted 3 wishes, what would be the number one wish?
Whoa.
Whoa. Some were saying weird things like that.
The number one wish that someone would have if they were granted 3 wishes.
What were they? More money.
Immortality.
Ooh. No, it was to be able to time travel.
Really?
That'd be fun. Does that mean when you're really old, you could just zip right back and be young?
And then it got weird because some people wanted to, like, a lot of people wanted to go back and shoot Hitler, you know.
What were they asking? What was this group that they were asking?
No, they weren't asking seniors. Because when they
Sarah Connor? Is that Hitler's mother?
Were they asking like a bunch of Jewish people?
Well, I don't know.
We just saw that yesterday. Sarah Connor.
Old people. They don't care. They don't have anything to do with that stupid slut contract.
Your point?
What do they want?
What do old people want?
I don't know.
Like
but
better eyesight?
Yeah.
Better eyesight? Not to put my pants today.
Thankfully, I failed to see the relevance in most things, so yours is included.
Yeah. But the whole time thing is just...
It's a curiosity.
I mean, as I was listening to this story,
your face is melting.
Yes.
I would suggest you give your attention to the fact that your face is melting, rather than drumming yourself up. Yeah, which is fine, of course. It can be troublesome, it's challenging, or exciting, or maddening, to get a sense that your face is melting, and that you are that which is interested in interest.
Other things just don't hold such.
Well, that's why, you know, whatever this is, has to do the work, it has to do the trick. There's no way that you're going to step up to this plate because this is too playful. It's too sensual. It's, you know, profoundly, fractally divergent or expressive. And, you know, you can't command the quality of your attention. You know. I mean, even though you may have a wonderful master and live outside of the walls of the city, you see that you can't actually willfully command your attention. So something else has to happen.
Just don't try to command.
Well, your present experience is truly an uncharted miracle from moment to moment, no matter how many, you know, years you've been alive or how much wonderful life experience you may receive.
If you let loose the reins of steering your attention, is it even possible? It seems to be, to some extent, from
well,
what I can gather.
Your attention functions more or less of its own accord.
At the same time it does that, there's this reverb, there's this echo, there's this shadow thing that's going on. It's like, whoa! You went there. Oh, hey, oh.
That's, that echo is a story told.
Yeah. It's like, who am I talking to? Who are you trying to convince?
Yeah, you're trying to convince yourself. I know, it's funny. You're like, what? It's like...
All echoing is a story told presently.
Yeah.
And that can be a little startling to see that whatever you imagine is going on is just a presently appearing impersonal association.
I can see that, but I still can't make it stop. That's no, disturbing.
You needn't, it needn't
because
stop.
I'm like, shut up.
It needn't stop.
I don't care.
Yeah, even thought, thought and distraction and storytelling and echoing and the strange, you know, sense of identification that these, this functionality seems to bestow. No problem. You see, no need to make it stop. Because if we're inspired to make something start or stop, then, right, we're of the nature of a realm.
I had to sort of revert to some old mindfulness trick because it was such a clamor.
Yeah. Use every possible medication.
I mean, you know, just sort of like, who is a terrorist in my headspace?
Yeah. Or play with packaging. You see? That's how good this is. Oh, packaging? I can arrange that.
There might have been more crumbs.
Maybe if I open it and play with it a little, more chocolates will just...
If I crinkle the plastic, maybe it'll, like, refill.
You'd have made a really good house mouse.
This is so wild. Herding cats. Herding cat sangha. Yeah. Really? No, I promise you, these people are really serious about this topic. They really are. No, I know they appear not to be because they're so easily distracted and shit. But no, they're interested.
Mesmerized by her interest in the packaging, right?
More honest than your average seeker person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
seekers.
No, I tell you, the kids.
Well-behaved are seekers put up a good front, like they really care about this shit. But yep. I'm not going to get that from anybody here. Yeah. Really, you and the shit that you say, it sucks. Fuck you. There's packaging, there's truffles. Something happened to me yesterday. I am good to go. Yeah, it's all puppy consciousness. Let's just lick everything in sight. Who cares if it's real?
Chew it up.
Yeah, why are those guys talking about reality when there's a pillow to chew?
It is funny how that in this space there is just this unrelenting tendency to bounce around. Like, what's next? What's tomorrow? What do I want?
Well, I'm cranking pretty heavy on you. You know, which is, why not? It's fun. Instead of being, you know, kind of take it or leave it, for me, it's more fun to really crank on it, really. Mm-hmm. And that takes a certain kind of discipline. It takes a certain kind of caloric capacity. And as much as we think it's thrilling, there's a lot, you could say, embedded in our imaginary identity that doesn't want to hear this. That is happy to become restless and distract. Because the implication of what we're talking about is
evolving.
You know, it really is transhuman. Really, not kidding around. And it's transhuman right here, right under your nose, right under your butt. You know, alongside the delightful and delectable persona that you wear. It's not anyplace else. This is the rabbit hole. So, you know, I mean, that's what's being taught. That's what's always being taught. What was Nirsagadatta saying? He wasn't saying anything about it's anything. He was just saying, this is the rabbit hole. Right? You know, I am and consciousness is all there is and the absolute and the food body and the this and that. Fuck you. All he was saying is, this is the fucking rabbit hole. Right? But it looked like a whole bunch of conveniences or inconveniences to so-called seekers that showed up at his door.
Well, he could run half too.
Absolutely. That's right. That's why I love him.
That's funny game.
You know, all that shit that Joseph Goldstein talks about and those fucking Buddhists, you know, the Western Buddhists, you know, the insight meditation Buddhists. That's a realm. That's all crap.
Your Anderson Cooper's retreat on 60 Minutes, I guess.
That's nice. Go, Anderson, go.
And they said, oh, you said it changed your life to Anderson Cooper. He said, well, I was trying to tell a story, too.
You said that?
And he's always like, I forgot, I saw him do like some psychic stuff. Right. And he was such a, like, he's like, I don't really believe in any of this shit. But anyway.
Yeah, no, this is about Anderson Cooper.
Is 60 Minutes finally doing something about mindfulness? I mean, come on, it's like 2015. How long has this shit been out for? Anyway,
yeah, it's actually hit that level. But it's commoditized. It's absolutely totally commoditized.
Yeah, it's so overkill.
It's made palatable somehow.
Stephen Hawking doesn't really want you to know what this is. As a matter of fact, he's most likely paid to make sure that you don't find out what this is. You know, if you're one of the dumb fuck posers that, you know, has his hand on the launch codes and the money that's associated with that, you don't want the general population finding out that they're God. That would be a little disruptive. Turn out to be a little disruptive. Everyone at Monsanto would just not come to work. This company's bad. This company's evil. I quit. That's what we really need, is a worldwide strike. I quit. Good luck with that. If you say that too loudly, most likely they'll be incarcerated or assassinated, or both.
Well, there's a low rumble. That's all I can handle.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so confusing. Like, though, if it's a dream, like, are you always going to have an evil empire?
Well, to call this a dream, you know, is, well, it's an easy out. Or to refer to it as dreaming or like dreaming, mm-hmm. right, can be a useful insight tool. But even that can only go so far, so deep, right? Because then we objectify what the nature of dreaming is. But dreams we presume we all have, and we know that they're fuzzy and strange, and they don't have a beginning or an end, and, you know, an outcome, and that they weren't real. And so you can use the dream metaphor to apply to your so-called waking life that doesn't have a beginning, it doesn't have an end, it's fuzzy as hell.
And all associations are created instantaneously.
And all associations and frames of reference are created instantaneously, none of which are independently real or true. Or external to you.
I got them up this morning. I'm like, what is it with these shoes? They're just like, no, there must be something in the bottom of one of them or stuck on my heel. I realized I put on two different shoes.
Oh, God. Right. That's nice. Pretty.
Whoa. I'm
like, fuck.
Good sign.
You didn't put on the right shoes.
Next time,
heel that was like the
next time there's a SIG meeting, I think you should go and say, I don't know about what you guys, but I put on two different shoes and went to the office. You see if you get like a, you know, any applause. Hey, that's not enlightened, man. That's just two different shoes. Oh, you think so? Really? Walk a mile in my two different shoes. Yeah.
It would have been okay if they didn't have different heel heights.
Tomorrow I'm coming to work with two different personalities.
Two different
notes. They were very similar.
Santa, Nan, are you walking on an angle today?
I didn't look down and I was like...
People don't notice things like
no,
that.
No, they don't. You think it's a big deal. Well, some people are real detail specific. I had one who said...
Well, that's how Tim Robbins made it out of Shawshank.
Oh.
I love that movie.
I forget.
Yeah, I'll just sit here and play with my whiskers until you guys catch up.
Don't give up on us, Jess. Please don't give up on us.
We didn't take our riddle on this.
No, it's my fault. Okay.
You need cooler whiskers. Like, Fred has really cool whiskers.
Really?
Troubles.
You know, for some, these heretical reflections may be, I don't know, too much gibberish or not have, there's no purchase here.
I started with that. Some just would come for the entertainment, but they don't get anything beyond that. My friend Karen was like, oh, it's entertaining. She came a couple times because it was the middle of the winter. She was bored. But she didn't, she was just like, didn't get anything.
Well, I don't think it's a choice, right? You know, it's either something, really, something works for you, resonates, or it doesn't.
Yeah. And what's interesting is it doesn't even have to really make sense to the rational mind. I gave up a long time ago expecting anything you say to make sense to my rational mind or trying. We're grasping at it.
Well, we're not speaking to or of the rational mind. So it sounds like it might be working if you can't make any sense of it.
And you look back like, what are we talking about? What is in its goal? Like, it's just nothing.
We're not really talking about anything. We're just, mm-hmm. you know, playing around with the curious enjoyment of liquid face. This is liquid face, Sangha. And as you get a sense of it, see where you go. You know, and at least this evening we can see that there's cycle after cycle of, you know, absolute distraction. That's where we go. That guy's talking about liquid face. Hey, I'm going to play with the truffle plastic. Or I'm going to recall a movie. Yeah. Now we're all guilty of it. It's not like there's an ideal way to be with this or not.
Where are we supposed to go with liquid face?
I don't know. I don't know.
Run a little milk.
I mean,
you're like, all right.
The fun of it is go uncharted. You know, instead of coming back to Peter Brown and saying, well, I did some noticing this week. You're like, who the fuck cares? You know what I mean? Because, right, Peter creates a realm. He's good at it. And then people that hang out with him or whomever they're hanging out with participate in realm management, right? Yeah, you participate in realm management and then, but underneath realm management is the observation, is the first-hand direct encounter with something that we're referring to as face melt or that which is interested in the fact that you're interested in shit.
Which kind of melts your face?
Which is face melting. Yeah, it's all right. Any of these little, whoosh, you know, they're all right because you can't place them.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to throw this out. That's painful. It's interested in everything.
Yeah, yeah. No, this
there's no
genocide's
criteria.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, genocide and chocolate, no problem. Yeah. Yeah, let's give away Native American lands for more fracking. Super. You know, old man Cherokee, well, you know, he died. All we got left is a bunch of attorneys, and we'll kick their ass. Yeah, so. So this is a new realm. Or at least a, you know, let's say a new recognition or a novel recognition of what you've always been, which is timeless face melt fucker.
It is it's a complete paradigm shift from how I'd normally operate, because normally I operate, what's it going to give me? You know, what's it going to do for me?
Well, see, even referring to how I normally operate is an absolute myth. You don't normally operate. You never have. You think that by referring to yourself as normally operating, that there's actually a NAN that you can successfully conjure and then communicate to so-called others that I normally operate. You see, that's just a present dream. You've never normally operated. You only imagine that you normally operate by reflecting on what you think occurred prior to this moment. And you call that I normally operated. But you've always been inexplicably irrational, crazed beyond imagination. All you've ever done is had your face fucking melt. But you can, like any of us can, say, oh, prior to this moment, I normally operated. Did you? No, you actually didn't. Anything that you could say about yourself prior to this moment is what? It's your imagination.
Well, it's a feeble stitching together, moment by moment, right? I mean, scenes.
Well, that's also... What? Is it feeble? Is it a stitching? Is it moment by moment?
It seems that every moment is...
To anthropomorphize it, we use a little poetry like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
That's right. So the fun thing to see is as we're communing inwardly or right from friend to friend and using language, we can say, whoa, every and any metaphor that I might come up with is... What? Right? Because we're not actually conveying a thing that could be a report on the past or the present or the future. Is this strange? We speak with each other with glee, with ease, with fun, with great distraction and humor, right? And we have that joy. We have that glistening thing going down. But the words that we're actually using or the way that we're speaking to each other are just pure fuzz, right? It's just pure imagination. I'm not actually communicating a thing, an object, am I? If I say I have a stomach ache or I say I love you or I missed you or can I get you something from the drugstore, right? What is that? I don't know. Yeah, pick up some cheese doodles before I blow my head off. Okay, I'll be right back. Cheese doodles and cough medicine. Let's put on a movie. You see? Where is your life prior to this moment? Where is it? It's not. It's not. It's just not. I mean, really not. Not a little bit not. Completely not. So what are you going to say about it? What are you going to report to me, or yourself, or your dear friends, or your enemies? What you're about? What happened to you? Why you're motivated to be what you've become? That's not the case. But you see how easy we take for granted the magical powers that we call myself, moving through the biorhythms of my day with my attendant self-loathing consciousness, annoying, terrorizing consciousness, reaching for whatever ameliorations I possibly can to pack my cupboard, pack my car, pack my mouth, pack my Orify. Right? Just do whatever I can possibly do to try to get a moment's relief from myself. I want to out-gratify myself, right? That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to out-gratify myself, that if I get a few moments of gratification through whatever ecstatic means may be possible, it's like a fucking relief from me.
Trying to, like, satiate something that's totally insatiable.
Yeah.
It's like impossible.
Yeah. And that's great. I mean, you know, it's like, don't stop doing that. I mean, please, not on my account. Don't stop doing that. I mean, you know, reach for the gusto. Suck a ling ling, ying ling down, you know.
That was confusing.
What? Ling ling, ying ying.
Ling-ling.
It's a beer.
And a bear.
First I thought you were talking about lingons again. I'm like,
I could have been. Yeah. Why not? They're the same thing. So what does awake suggest, if it suggests anything? Well, first of all, it's not a remedy for the myth of human. Okay? Awake has nothing to do with the imagination of human or the way that what we call human imagines that it suffers or the relief that it hopes to find to therefore stop suffering in a certain way. Okay? Not a yet, not happening. So what is it actually about?
Is that
refreshing? So what is it actually about? What's your present experience actually about? What is awake, if there were such a thing? What could it possibly be about? What utility could it have?
It's just another untethering, sort of.
You're already untethered, you see? Awake, or all the bullshit that's sold as awake, only gets purchase. Only has purchase because one imagines that one has been previously tethered and is hoping to be untethered sometime in the near future. Well, right?
Awareness of being that untethered.
That's, well, the fetish.
One step.
You see, it's the fetish. It's the imagination which says, oh, God, I've been tethered. Fuck, it's painful. I would like to be untethered someday.
And that's still the,
it's nonsense,
imagination that I'm somebody.
It's nonsense. That's right. It's nonsense.
Never.
Yes.
It doesn't exist, so how can it get untethered?
Yeah.
I could have been somebody.
I could have been a contender.
Yeah. I should be somebody. I better rustle up a lot.
That's right. If only I'd done the peacock more often, or whatever those poses are.
You and the peacock?
The peacock or the auto fellatio thing. If I'd only gotten that down, I could have been a contender. Yeah. So this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. Your liberation, were there such a thing, and there's, thank goodness there's not, would look and feel like this. This face melting thing. just like this. It's not a solution. It's not a remedy. It's not making any promises. I hope you don't suffer less. Get what I'm putting down? I hope you don't suffer less, because then you'll think that this might have had something to do with it. I hope you keep suffering just as well as you know how to.
It appears they're suffering more.
You see, because there's just no dog in the fight. What the fuck? Suffering? Fuck you. Not suffering? Fuck you. You see? There's nothing left of you to place yourself in a chalice in the palace with the pestle, with the trestle, so that things are going your way. You see?
It's a whole new Broadway musical.
Very new, yeah.
Things are not going anybody's way.
Yeah, with Tommy Tune. You're nobody till somebody loves you. This is an adventure. I'm not telling you. I don't know what this is. Right? I'm not going to go in front of a SIG meeting and say, hey, I'm not seeking anymore. But that's like 2 years old. 2 years old. This is off species. This is off planet. This is not about hanging out with E.T.'s mother and getting a great life subscription. Or hearing some clowny clown, you know, talk New Age blather and call it the Our Lady of Guadalupe channeling. That's splooge.
What is it about sitting on Raiders pillows?
Oh, fuck.
Or not.
Maybe there's something that's kind of refreshing. Maybe it's kind of refreshing when you have yourself like so-called you've always had yourself, even though you're just brand new. Right? This moment, it's brand new. This moment, if there were one, this attention, this interest in attention, this interest in the interest that there's interest in attention, has no backyard, has no bottom. Yeah. You know, the durability of your so-called life on Earth as a opposable thumb wielding bacteria means what? Right? We can feel the biologic interest in continuity, the sentimentality that may be accompanied by what if I were to cease existing? What if I were to die? Right? My car! It would miss me! The car would miss me!
Something
to live for
now. Be terrible.
I just got a new ride! I will not die. Let us get to know each other better. Fall in love. Cruise down 276. Go through the easy pass.
I haven't even figured out all the options and then
I haven't read the manual.
Capabilities.
Not really. Trip odometer. Please don't kill me before trip odometer. But we do this, right? We bargain this way all the time, right? The cringing that we do, the silent bracing that we do. Oh, injury. Oh, ill health. Oh, my stuff. Oh, my taxes. Oh, What does someone think about me? Oh, that sweatshirt doesn't, I don't look right in it anymore. Oh, I've lost weight. Oh, I've gained weight. Oh, right? Go spend the entire life, however many so-called years that is. Oh, Jesus. Oh, something's going to happen to me. Shit, something's going to happen to me. It's going to suck. Oh, that sucks. It sucks that it's going to suck. It just sucks that it's going to suck and it's going to happen to me. I'm telling you it sucks. I need a meeting. Right? Doesn't it go like that? I mean, it whips up in no time at all. Yeah. And if we're, let's say we're a using medicator, we haven't seen the full geometry of the madness of ourselves, and so using is the best remedy we have. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's right. Or some of us may have gone through, you know, patterns of, call it abusive using, right? Life destroying using, right? Right. And so, you know, we're wise, or we are in the good graces to come to some amelioration, right? Some sobriety. And the sobriety accompanies the seeing of the geometry of our own madness and the self-loathing and the internalization and the isolation of that madness, which means I've really got nothing left but whatever I've got to unmadden myself. Right? So the adventure of sobriety is to see, no. There's other ways. Right? Place a little trust in me. I've been there. I've been through the journey. Put a little trust in the program. Right? Put a little trust in your higher power. Put a little trust. And with help, you might discover there are other ways, right, to other cups to drink from. And that's part of the intelligence of having these conversations, right? There's other cups to drink from than the one that you think you've been drinking from. But the stakes are really high, right? This is not a plaything. The stakes are really high. The stakes are you're going to turn the corner into a transhuman chutes and ladders game that is very unapologetic. You're not going to come out of this as a self-improved human.
But what's the person to do? This is it. I don't know. What can you do?
About what?
About this approach, about this, whatever it is. I don't know. I realize I'm not making sense.
Mm-hmm. We're with you. Not making sense.
But, you know, I mean, it just is. I mean, you have certain experiences and suddenly you find the spark things in life are spinning weirdly in a different way than they seem to have spun. You know, and that's all imagination. I understand that. But yet, thank you. There's this...
Somebody likes you.
There's this thing.
Cat call.
There's this... this passion or something.
Hard to say. Hard to know what button.
Hard to use any words. I find it greatly difficult to.
Hard to know what button to pin on your lapel. When you're shirtless. Unless you're piercing. The suffering game and the amelioration of suffering game is $1 billion industry. We could say the entire industrialization of the whole species is the suffering game and the amelioration of suffering game. Mm-hmm. The whole economy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The entire economy of 7-point-something billion of the, right? Playful bacterium.
Social, cultural, whatever, too.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's right.
How you hang out with people, how you relate, religion, all of it.
Yes. So it's probably more appropriate, considering your background, to refer to it as an ecology. The entire ecology. Right?
The hierarchy of needs.
The entire ecology is based on a formidable myth that something happened to you a moment before now. So we have no idea, since maybe we're, you know, we're just lonesome pioneers like so many people scattered throughout the globe. They're trying to have a different conversation. Right? That are responding to the vicissitudes and beatitude of present experience in a novel way. And this is the engine of it. Your present experience, which is all there is anyway, is the engine and the reflection of all creation. Whatever we thought liberation was, it's like, fuck that. Who cares? You see, because you're no longer suffering from the realm of Krishnamurti or the realm of TM or the realm of Nirsagadatta. You're not suffering. You're not under the influence of a realm that has been neatly inscribed and prescribed by a master and his or her minions. Right? You're not influenced by realms that have been sold by masters and their minions. This is melting face bodhicitta.
Well, I think we're duped a lot of times from the PR campaigns of these many...
A lot of times.
All the time, okay.
Well, really, it seems like we're just trying to put our face back. You know, the face is melting. You're trying to pick it back up, put it back together, and hold it there.
I like that,
and
yes.
It's just like, you're like, not my nose. Okay, this, and then that's good. And it's just like, yeah, fuck
it. Yeah, that's right. We're trying to put our face back. Yeah. It is not necessary to become insistent on anything as something's true or not true, or it's really this way, but it's not that way. Because it's any way that it cares to imagine itself appearing in your so-called experience. Whatever you're imagining or however you're framing the miracle of present experiencing is the way that it appears to the likes of you. So, you know, why refute anything? Make fun of everything, but why refute anything? Otherwise, what happens is we go in search once again of another holy grail. Right? Well, if it's not that way, Bob, it must be this way. So we create another holy grail. Now we're on another mission from God to find the fleece.
For convince everybody
it's
our way.
Right? Show them. Let's get some spears and have the crusades and help people. Turn to Jesus. Yeah. Let's take it on the road. Yeah.
Let's go kill Indians.
Right. Are we not men? We are Devo. D-E-V-O. I can't get no satisfaction.
Crusades with Devo as a soundtrack.
I like it, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll run the Crusades with Devo soundtrack.
Yes.
Fantastic.
We're in trouble now.
We're totally in trouble now. What time is it? Oh, this program is over. Hey, thanks for checking in and being with us this evening, all of you in TV land. Ha ha ha, not a one, not a one.